Good morning to everyone. It's nice to have everyone out today, and I know that this is a holiday weekend, and a lot of people are traveling. A lot of our regular folk are off visiting other people, and I know that some of you are visiting here, either visiting family or maybe passing through the area. Perhaps some of you are from the community. We are very thankful that you are here. It's an encouragement to us that you have chosen to be out today. Of course, being a holiday weekend, a lot of people choose to do other things, and those other things may be perfectly fine things, but when they come in conflict with what we need to do to serve God, then we have a problem. We need to make sure our priorities are what they ought to be, and your presence here shows that you understand that, and we're thankful for that, and we want to encourage you in your walk with God. And if there's anything we can do to help you with that, we ask that you please let us know. There are visitors' cards as well. If you've not filled out one of those, we would ask that you do so and make sure that that gets to one of our members, and we'll get that in the right hands so we have a record of your attendance here. If there's anything, any question that you have, feel free to jot that down or come talk to us about that. As most of you know, and as has been mentioned a couple of times, this is the final Sunday for me here at Hickman Mills and for my family. And we are very thankful for those of you over the past few weeks and months who have sent us so many cards of support and encouragement, and those of you who have spoken to us with those words personally. We're very thankful for that. It's meant a lot to us. And we are thankful for the congregation here and for the time that we have had here with you. I want to especially thank the elders who asked me to come here 4 years ago. I appreciate the confidence they had in me, and I'm thankful for that invitation. And we have, I believe, done a lot of good in a lot of ways. The Lord has blessed me and my family in our work here and in works in other places, and we are thankful for our opportunity to get to know you and to enter into your lives, and we hope have some impact on that. We are excited about a new opportunity that we will begin next Sunday. We begin that transition this week to work with the Jones Road Church of Christ in Athens, Alabama, and we are very excited about that. From our standpoint, anytime you make a transition like this, there's always the negative side of leaving and the sad side of leaving, but we also have the excitement of looking forward to going to a new place, and so it is with mixed emotions that we approach all of this, and I hope you understand that, but I ask that you keep us in your prayers and remember us and think about us and pray for us as we will also be remembering you and praying for you and the work here at Hickman Mills. With that transition, with our departure in mind, I want to talk a little bit this morning reflecting on someone else who was departing, someone of much greater stature than myself, who did far greater things with far more lasting impact. I want to talk about one of the great heroes in Scripture, and that is Joshua and his farewell and his call for the faithfulness of Israel. And if you will, you can turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua 23. And we've had our Bible reading from that already. I want to thank Joe for that reading a few moments ago. Joe is always very patient with me, and he requests that I send him Bible readings, and I know that I always get them to him later than he wants to have them. But he always does a fine job in reading and delivering those verses. And he treats the Word of God with clear reverence and respect that we all ought to. But I want, as we look at these verses, to emphasize that if we heed Joshua's admonitions in this passage, that we can remain faithful in our call to serve the Lord. And that is what we need to do. That is what we have to do. Anytime your time with someone comes to a close, you lose your ability to have ongoing impact. And I hope the things that that I've said to you over the past several years will have lasting impact, but my opportunity to continue to say those things is at an end. And so this is my last chance. And Joshua understood that himself, that this was his last chance to speak to Israel and to encourage them along the path that he had led them and that he had wanted them to go. And so the best that I can do is to go back to what Joshua had to say, because I'm not going to improve upon what Joshua said at all. Let's look then in Joshua 23, beginning in verse 6, the passages that we looked at a moment ago, but I want to look at those again. Therefore, be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand nor to the left, that you may not mix with those nations remaining among you, or make mention of the names of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you shall cling to the Lord your God, just as you have done this day. For the Lord has driven out before you great and strong nations, and as for you, no man has been able to stand before you to this day. One man of you puts to flight 1,000, since it is the Lord your God who fights for you, just as he promised you. Be careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. So Joshua, in this passage, which of course is a selection at the core of his longer message, Joshua gives some admonitions to the people of Israel. And the first of those that I want to look at is the fact that Joshua says to be strong, to keep and do all that is written. He wanted to make sure that they were going to remain faithful to the written word that they had been given. They had been given a law from God that had been written down. And Joshua understood, as we all should understand, as we all have seen at different points, that it is easy to cut corners. It is easy to take the Word of God and focus on the things that we like and ignore the things that we don't like. It is easy to deviate from that straight and narrow path that Scripture gives us. But God has given us a path that will not only help us live our lives on this earth, but also the only path that will please Him. And that is something that Joshua understood, that if Israel was going to survive in that world, that the only thing they were going to be able to do, the only way they were going to be able to do that, was with their relationship with God. And if they deviated from God's path, they were not going to maintain that relationship. It's easy for us to think that we know better than God, or that God really doesn't mean what he says. And as Hebrews tells us about the generation that preceded this generation that went in and took the land, but rather the generation that fell in the wilderness, that God had demonstrated to them, because of their unfaithfulness, that he was not pleased with them. That they fell in the wilderness. They died in the wilderness. And that this ought to be within the memory of these people. And Joshua is trying to remind them of that. To be strong, to keep, and to do all that is written. Not to deviate, not to go right, not to go left. We all have our inclinations. We all have our own ideas about what we want to do to please God, but it is only God who can tell us what we must do to please Him. And so we must be committed to be strong, to keep and to do all that is written. Joshua also tells us, you shall cling to the Lord your God just as you have done to this day. Joshua admonishes Israel to cling to the Lord. I don't know if any of you have ever seen those nature documentaries where they show these different primates in the jungle, maybe a monkey or orangutan or something like that, and they will have a small infant, and they'll be swinging through the branches of these trees, many feet off the ground, in a very, from our standpoint, very dangerous way. And here is this tiny infant clinging to its mother. And it just clings there and holds on, and the mother is swinging around. You wonder, how is that happening? How is that possible? Well, because that infant understands the need to stay close to the one who provides for it, the one who will take care of it, the one who will protect it and feed it and give it all that it needs. It clings to it no matter what happens. Joshua told Israel, cling to the Lord. Israel was tempted to look to the nations around them, and this was an ongoing problem that Israel had. They sought the approval of other nations, they accepted the influence of other nations, and Joshua was telling them time and time again, don't do that. Moses told them, don't do that. God would send through his prophets, don't do that, don't be drawn away. We, like Israel, live among people who really don't care about God, who are following other gods, who are doing other things. And it is easy for us to be drawn away by that. It's easy for us to be drawn away by not only the immorality of the world, which is so pervasive and it is so strong, and it is inescapable in many ways, but we are sometimes also drawn away by those who are also religious, but those who have not followed on that straight and narrow path of God. And we sometimes are influenced by those in the denominational world, and not that they don't sometimes maybe have good things to say, things that we can learn from, but we must be careful that we are clinging to the Lord, that He is the one that we're holding on to. He is the one to whom we are looking, because He is the only one who is always going to be there for us. He is the only one who can save us, who can protect us, and who can provide for us. And Joshua says in verse 11 of chapter 23, be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. And so the third admonition I want us to think about is to be careful to love the Lord. To be careful to love the Lord. That our motivation to serve Him should, yes, be based on the understanding that it is God who provides for us. That it is only God who can bring salvation. It is only God to whom we can turn. That anything else is vain. All of these other gods that Joshua was talking about, all these other paths will not be able to deliver. Only God will be able to deliver. And so we are motivated by the understanding, just from practical outcomes, that really it is only God who is going to be able to give us what we need. Who is only going to be able to give us what He promises. But Joshua wanted Israel to understand that God wanted a relationship with them based on love. That God has shown us that He loves us. But He is telling them, make sure you love God. Going along with what Joshua has told them about not being influenced by these other nations around them is the understanding that to love the Lord is to abandon all others for Him. And, of course, our illustration for that really ought to immediately go to the marriage relationship. That we make a vow to leave all others for our wife, for our husband. That we've made a commitment at that point with our vows to say, I'm not going to be interested in anybody else. It's you that I'm going to focus on. And that is what Joshua is telling Israel that they must do. That is what God demands of us. And God throughout the Bible uses that imagery of a husband and a wife with His people. We see it both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. But sometimes
we must understand what Scripture means when it talks about the loving relationship between us and God. When love comes up, sometimes people see love or the use of love or their understanding of love means that it is an escape hatch from obedience. Well, if I love God and God loves me, then He's really not going to care if I don't do what He says. But that flies in the face of everything in Scripture and flies in the face of everything that Scripture means about love. Instead of an escape hatch from obedience, instead, love means that we obey God with a fervency that we would not have without Him. That we are not approaching our relationship with God just in that practical, well, I know God's going to deliver, so I'm going to make sure I do this. But it is something that puts into that relationship a want. I want to obey God. And I want to please Him. Jesus tells us very simply in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And we also understand that love prepares us for the battle that lies ahead. That we are going to be called upon to fight for our relationship with God. To fight against the powers of Satan, the powers of sin, the powers of evil that will come against us. The people of Joshua's generation understood that idea of fighting. They were a fighting people. They had gone in and they had taken Canaan from these pagan people, these idolatrous people, these wicked, evil people. Their loved ones had died on the field. And so we need to understand that this is a love that doesn't give us permission to cut corners. It's not a love that makes us soft in our service to God, but rather it is a love that empowers us to accomplish more than we ever could without that loving relationship. Continuing on, Joshua 23, verses 9 and 10, for the Lord has driven out before you, Joshua says, great and strong nations. And as for you, no man has been able to stand before you to this day. One man of you puts to flight a thousand, since it is the Lord your God who fights for you just as He promised you. God has made us a people to conquer and be victorious. That's the kind of people He has made. That's why Jesus came, to make us a people who are ready for conquer and who are ready for victory. That's what God wants from us. And we can put to flight a thousand, Joshua says, just as this generation had done that he's talking to. He says, you've done this. You've put to flight a thousand. One man has. We can do that if we allow God to do our fighting. And that means that fierce obedience and trust that we're going to do what God says, that we are going to do all that God asks of us. And of course, this generation was the generation that had marched around the walls of Jericho. And because of their obedience and because of their trust, God brought those walls down. God was there fighting for them. God was there giving them the victory beyond anything that they were capable of doing. They weren't able to do that. Except God made them victorious because of their willingness to hold fast to Him. And so, in this place, in this generation, it is your job to fight for the Lord at Hickman Mills. That's your job. That's what God has called you to do. That's why He has put you in this place. To fight for Hickman Mills fiercely. To be ready to be victorious, to conquer for Him, to put to flight a thousand. Don't shrink back from that. Don't step back from fighting that battle. Because if you are obedient to God, God will give you the victory that He wants you to have. It's a victory that you cannot have on your own. It is a victory that only He will give you. And Joshua tells them, "You know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed." Joshua begins to recount the history of Israel and how God had been with them time and time and time again. All the things that He had done for them, the victories that they had had, the tight spots God had gotten them out of, the promises that God had made, and He says, and not one of them had failed. We need to remember our own history. You need to remember the history of this church, its history of faithfulness. This congregation has come a long way in the past 50 years. We have to thank some of the members who are still here, Brother Bob and Brother Dick, Brother Don, men who have been here and fought those battles so many times in the past and have been victorious. And we are thankful to them for the gift that they give us. And we need to honor that by continuing on their fight, by making sure that that is not in vain. Because as we remember the past, it ought to give us confidence for the future. That is what Joshua is telling them. Not one of these things has failed, Joshua is saying. And he's not saying that so you can just kind of, now you can sit back and relax because God's done everything. No, he's saying not one of these things has failed. You can trust in God to keep doing those things as long as you keep being faithful. God has not failed Hickman Mills, and He will not fail Hickman Mills as long as you are faithful to God and follow that path, going neither to the right nor to the left. And then Joshua issues a personal challenge in chapter 24. Don't pay attention to that verse. Chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. He says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, whether those gods that they served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house," Joshua says, "we will serve the Lord." You see, we have to make our own personal choice. And the choice for our family as to which direction we're going to go, what we're going to do. It wasn't just simply that Israel could make a choice in the abstract. They couldn't simply make this choice in the collective. They, each one of them, had to choose, this is what we're going to do. We are going to serve God. And that is the only way that any group of people will serve God, as if each of the members of that group have made the decision to serve the Lord. So what will you choose? What will you choose? It is a choice that we are called on to make at different times in our lives. It is a choice that we are called on to make at one time in our life, that time of commitment. But then those temptations come. And those times that are designed by Satan to pull us away from God. And we have to choose again and again. How is it that we will succeed in choosing the Lord? Well, we will do it by following the admonitions of Joshua. To be strong, to keep and do what is written. To cling to the Lord your God. And to be careful to love the Lord. That is the guidance that Joshua gave so many years ago, and we cannot improve upon that guidance today. I want to share with you a quote from one of the most famous of all Missourians, T.S. Eliot. He was born in St. Louis and is the greatest poet of the 20th century. And he wrote, "If we take the widest and wisest view of a cause, there is no such thing as a lost cause, because there is no such thing as a gained cause. We fight for lost causes because we know that our defeat and dismay may be the preface to our successor's victory, though that victory itself will be temporary. We fight rather to keep something alive than in the expectation that anything will triumph." Joshua himself understood this, whether he expressed it in these terms or not. Because he had seen Israel in slavery, he had seen Israel rescued from slavery. He had seen Israel cross the Red Sea. Then he had seen Israel reject his report about the faithfulness, or about the ability to enter into Canaan. They were not faithful to what God had told them. They had no confidence despite all they had seen. He saw the generation, his own generation really, die in the wilderness, drop dead one by one. Then he saw victory again as they went into Canaan. And so we will have in our lives, we will have in our struggles, setbacks, and we will have perceived victory. But we can't let our dedication and our commitment to God be based on either one of those, because they're all transitory. All we can do is heed the admonitions of Joshua to be strong, to keep and do, to cling to the Lord, and to be careful to love the Lord. Because ultimately there is only one truly gained cause. And it is not a cause that we will gain, but it is a cause that Jesus Christ has gained. He has gained the only true victory. That is the victory over death. That is the victory over the works of Satan. He has given us that victory through his death and through his resurrection. And we can share in that victory if we will remain faithful. Paul wrote to Timothy a couple of thousand years ago about the role of an evangelist. And what Paul wrote 2,000 years ago is the same role that evangelists have today. He tells Timothy, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." That was the task that I had when I came to Hickman Mills. And that is the task that I have done. I have done the work of an evangelist and I have fulfilled my ministry. So now, as preachers who do not ride with a cowboy hat in the sunset, but rather ride a camel, it is time for me to catch my camel ride and ride off into the sunset. My work here is done. I have had the impact that I can have. It is left for others to do the work in the future. It is left for you to do the work here in the future. So one final time, I will challenge you. I will ask you as Joshua asked. Will you choose to serve the Lord? Who will you choose to serve this day? Jesus Christ is calling you. He has achieved the victory. If you want victory in this life, a victory that will last, Jesus Christ offers the only one. Will you confess his name? Turn away from the things of this world, your own bad choices, the influences that surround you, and choose the path of Jesus Christ. Decide that you're going to turn neither to the right nor to the left, but that you're going to love him by confessing his name and being baptized, having your sins washed away. Rising up to follow that path, rising up to cling to him, to love him, and to serve him. If there's someone here who wants to become a Christian, if there's someone here who needs to make things right in any way, come forward as we stand and sing.